Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, beautiful people? How you doing? My name is Tommy Suggs, a.k.a. Nafak Shaheen. I'm going to do a piece for you, and it's called Menage a Trois. Don't judge it before you listen to the whole thing, okay? All right. You know, as you live life and as you grow, you start to learn more and more things about yourself. And one of the things that has been most interesting that I figured out about myself recently, you can't judge me. I'm a freak. I love sex. Okay? All right. I said it. I love sex. And as a matter of fact, last week I had a very interesting sexual encounter, and that was a menage a trois. Yeah, a threesome. It was pretty intense. But the funny thing is that neither person knew I was inside the room. Neither one knew I was inside the room, but now that I think about it, many people don't know that I'm inside the room with them. My name is HIV. And I've been in more bedrooms than I care to remember, and more bedrooms than I can actually number or count. Who would have ever thought that one moment of pleasure, just one moment of passion, would give you a permanent partner like me? So I encourage you, be careful. Know your status and the status of the person you plan on being with, because you may just be engaging in a menage a trois. Thank you for listening. My name is Tommy Suggs, a.k.a. Nafak Shaheen. You guys have an awesome night. Bye.
Good morning. Welcome to Hannah's Footprints. What is your legacy? I am your host, Ms. Ricky R. Jones. I want to thank you all for calling in this morning. I want to thank each and every one of you who have been supportive on Hannah Footprints, What is Your Legacy? Welcome to the new listeners. Welcome back to the rest of our listeners. As always, you know, it's a beautiful day here in Philadelphia. The sun is shining. Life is living. Everything is basically A-OK. As you heard this morning, the topic is going to be about AIDS, HIV. We're going to be speaking to our guest from Babashi. We're also going to talk about the upcoming, which is tomorrow, the AIDS Walk Run Philly, which will take place on Sunday. I want to remind all the listeners, if you want to call in, or questions, and if you just want to call in and listen, show your support. The number here is 347-826-9723. 347-876-9723. If you want to listen, you're more than welcome to do so. If you want to ask a question or if you want to have a comment, you can press the number 1. And I'll get you in as soon as possible. Today's topic, again, like I said, welcome to Hannah Footprints. What is your legacy? I'm your host, Ms. Ricky R. Jones. Those of you who are online, hello. I see you guys. Thank you. Today's topic is going to be about AIDS and HIV. I want to also say, too, that I have marked this particular episode PG-13. Okay, so some of the commentary, some of the questions, some of the sharing that we're going to do is going to be a little bit much for folks under 13. Even though they know about their health and healthy people, I think we're going to get a little into what's going to be, you know, appropriate for you. So parents, guardians, babysitters, make sure that if they're under 13, go do like I did for my son. He's watching his cartoons. He has his bowl of cereal. And he's good to go, okay? More than 1.1 million people in the United States are living with HIV infection, and almost 1 in 6, which is 15.8%, are unaware of their infection. And that's coming from AIDS.gov, so if you want to check it out. So, you know, check that out. But it's just the fact of, yes, AIDS and HIV are still prevalent. They are still out there. It is better than it was maybe 25, 30 years ago, where we had, you know, soon it was considered just a death sentence. You have different medications that are out. You have different treatment options. You have variety. But the biggest thing that's an issue is you still have people who are unaware of their status, who are unaware of who and how AIDS can affect them. Okay? So we want to talk about making sure that you know your status, making sure that you know what AIDS is and what it's all about. Making sure that tomorrow, if you want to be a voice for the voiceless and you want to participate in the AIDS Walk Run Philly, you can go and you can do that. If you want to volunteer after that, we want you to be able to get all the information that you need. Okay? 347-826-9723. 347-876-9723. Is the call-in number. All right? So right now we're just kind of waiting for our guests to call in. And let's talk. Let's talk about, hey, like the song says, let's talk about sex. So a lot of us know we're out there having it. Are you protecting yourself? You know, are you responsible? Are you being careful? Are you being open with your partners? You know, a lot of us, we love, you know, we love the fact that we're in love. We love the fact that when we're in relationships, we love the act of love making. But when it comes down to having the conversation about being protected, about being careful, about being safe, about what lifestyles or habits that we choose to engage in, you know, are we having that conversation? Okay? So, are you guys right now, in, you know, those of you who may be single, and you know what, and those of you who are couples, you know, there's never, even though you may have been together for a long period of time, you know, you should always know your status. You never know, especially if you've had surgeries and you've had blood transfusions, things of that nature. You should always know your status, okay? So now I'm going to tell you a little bit about Bibashi itself. And Bibashi Transition to Hope was founded in 1985 as a full-service HIV/AIDS organization with special interest in serving low-income people of color with HIV disease. The second oldest AIDS service organization in the Philadelphia region, Bibashi Transition to Hope, was the first African-American organization in the United States to address the AIDS crisis. It remains one of Philadelphia's largest community-based minority providers of HIV, AIDS education, and services for the urban community, and is a model for the provision of culturally specific education and services for other communities of color, serving more than 20,000 consumers annually. And what I find so interesting, being a Philadelphia native, I find so interesting that when I was talking about doing the show, you know, I said, oh, I'm so excited, you know, Bibashi is going to be on and they're going to be talking and telling us about everything, you know, making sure we know our status and things of that nature. And it amazed me in the conversation that a lot of people didn't know about this organization. And it wasn't just, you know, sometimes you expect when you're sharing information about different things, you're expecting that maybe younger people don't know the resources or don't know about certain organizations that have been in existence for time and time again. But I was amazed. People who are actually in the healthcare field and people who are actually in the social services field, they were like, really? I didn't know. And then to even go further and start talking about, hey, well, you know, they have the AIDS walk and the run and so on and so forth. And I have to say to myself, well, you know, Rick, you didn't always know about the AIDS walk either. It wasn't until you got to your particular employment that they were doing the walk. So it's like, okay, but it's out there. Those services are out there. And it really hones into, do you know what's in your neighborhood? Do you know where to go if you have questions? Do you guys even know your status? All right? So think about that as I bring on our guest. And actually, I told you guys earlier, Mr. Bell was coming on and gearing up for our walk, because I'm walking with Team Babashi. Yay! I'm so excited. In gearing up for the walk tomorrow, a lot of the folks at Babashi are working in the field, and this gentleman that I'm going to bring on is no different because he's actually, you know, kind of moving and grooving and talking to us at the same time. But he is Richard LaVoy, and he's calling in with us, and he is the coordinator for the AIDS walk. So let's bring him on. Good morning, Mr. Hello. LaVoy. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Hi. Good. Welcome to Hand and Footprint.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being on. I know that you are in and about and getting everything ready for tomorrow. So can
yes.
we start with talking about Babashi, and then we'll go into talking about the walk tomorrow?
Sure. So the name of our organization is called Babashi. We were founded in 1985. We're a full-service HIV/AIDS organization with a special interest in serving low-income people of color with HIV disease. We're also the second oldest AIDS service organization in the Philadelphia region. Babashi Transition to Hope was the first African-American organization in the United States to actually address the AIDS crisis. And we remain one of the Philadelphia's largest community-based organizations that service HIV/AIDS to minorities. So we've been around for a while, and we're still doing, we're going hard, and we're still doing great work out there.
And I'm glad that you guys are out there. So now you say you're full services. What kind of services do you have for people? And is it a particular? Is it just for African Americans?
No, we service everybody. But again, we have a special interest in serving low income people of color. But we accept anyone who comes through our door, no matter where you come from, what color your skin. What we do at Babashi, we have case managers who help people who are HIV positive with different resources they might need to stay healthy. We also provide HIV testing and counseling. I'm a prevention specialist at Babashi, where we do a bunch of STD screenings. We do a lot of community work, too, so you always see us out in the field tabling at different health fairs, providing information about HIV, STDs, and other things that are out there. We do workshops at different youth correction facilities, health fairs, high schools. I mean, you name it, we're there. So we do a lot of different things in regards to providing HIV AIDS services in Philadelphia.
And do you find that people are still, even with all the information that is out about HIV and AIDS, do you find people are still kind of weary to know their status, to find out what's going on?
Of course, yeah. Those states, the same stigmas are still around. There's a lot of different reasons why. I think primarily because a lot of people are still afraid to open up and just have talk about sexual relationships and things like that. And a lot of times people who are diagnosed with HIV are stigmatized because of that. They're looked at as dirty. They should have gotten it because they were doing something they had nothing no business doing, you know, stuff like that. So because of those things, people still look at it as if, you know, all those stigmas that were tied to HIV AIDS back in the early 90s, late 80s, they still exist.
And what kind of, here, do you deal with the youth too? I mean, you know, there's a lot of kids that are out there, and not even just kids, even the younger folks in their 20s. I saw a fact the other day where they were saying that one of the rates of, you know, the newest cases of rates in infection are between the ages of 13 and 24.
Yes.
And that just kind of blew my mind.
Right. So, yeah, young people between the ages of 13 and 29 account for 39% of all new HIV infections. So
wow.
That rate is real, you know. What we try to do in regards to that is that we try to we go into different high schools. We try to do, like, community events geared towards youth, and we try to incorporate sexual health education and those kind of things. One event that we do at Bobashi is that we hold a community event called Movies Night. So what we do at our movie night is we usually show a movie or a movie that's out that has something to do with HIV, maybe the community, anything in regards to anything like that. And we watch the movie. We offer our services at the movie. And then what we do is we have a dialogue around the movie. Some of the things that we've watched previously before are Leave It on the Floor, which is a movie about dance. And it's a movie about, you know, people who are HIV infected. So we were able to have a dialogue around some of the things that were going on in the movie and what's going on in the real world. In addition to that, we also offer condoms at these events and education, and we have our prevention specialist there who will be able to, you know, answer any questions or concerns that people might have.
Now, I know this may sound like a silly question when I ask this, but I want to make sure that our callers are listening, and they are definitely, and they know when they leave, when they get off the air with us today, I want them to make sure that they know their facts. Could you tell us what is AIDS, what is HIV, and what are the differences in how you can contract it?
I'm sorry, I couldn't get the last question.
How you can contract HIV and AIDS.
Okay, so HIV stands for human immunodeficiency virus. Human because only humans can get HIV. Immunodeficiency because it attacks your immune system. So it's, your immune system is what keeps you healthy. So anytime you get a cold, your body, your immune system is your line of defense to make you get better. And virus because HIV is a virus and it can't be cured. So how people contract HIV is through body fluids, so blood-to-blood contact, unprotected sex, and things of that nature. Some activities that might be involved with the transmission of HIV, it's going to be sharing needles. So those who are injecting drugs, those who are having unprotected sex, who are coming in contact with vaginal secretion, semen. Breast milk is another form of transmission. So it's important to get tested prior to if someone is pregnant, because you might be breastfeeding your baby. And if you're breastfeeding your baby, HIV can be found in breast milk. AIDS is what doctors is a stage in HIV that doctors came up with to let people know that they're at a certain stage in their HIV progression. So what AIDS stands for is acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. In order to get AIDS, you have to have HIV. So no one can just get AIDS. You have to have HIV before you get AIDS. And the way doctors they diagnose someone with AIDS is if your CD4 cell count, which is your cells inside your body, your immune system, is under 200 counts, and you have an HIV and another opportunistic infection, which is an infection in your body that might be suppressing your immune system even more. So that's just some information about HIV AIDS.
All right, now you heard that, guys. You know, it doesn't come, it's human. So it's human to human contact, sharing of the bodily fluids. It can
right.
be, ladies, those of you who may be infected and you're pregnant or thinking about becoming pregnant, you know, it can pass. Now, what
right.
have been the advances that have made, you know, because when we first kind of, when all of us kind of first heard about HIV and AIDS,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was like almost like a death sentence. If you knew somebody
right.
who had it, it was a death sentence. So
right.
now you see people are living longer. What have been,
right.
you know, what have been some of the advances that have been made?
Well, medications. Medications. If someone is complete, is HIV positive, and is taking their medications correctly and how they're supposed to, I mean, they can live a full, healthy life. I believe what I read is that your life expectancy for someone who is HIV positive and is taking their medications correctly is 72 years old. So it's not a death sentence.
Wow.
It's not like it used to be when they didn't have any medications. They're not popping 7 pills every 4 hours anymore. There's actually medications out there now that are FDA approved that are one a day. So you pop your pill in the morning or at night, and that's it. You know, you're not taking 30 pills a day. So advancements in medications is what's keeping people here healthy. And again, it's not a death sentence anymore. That's why it's important for people to get into treatment and to get tested, because when you don't get tested and you don't know what's going on with your body, then you can't do anything about it. And when you do know, at least you can do something about it, you know. So that's why it's important to get tested. We recommend anyone who is sexually active to get tested every 3 to 6 months. Simple as that. Knowing is always going to be better than not knowing at all, because, again, if you know, you can do something about it. If you don't know, you can't do anything about it. And that's when HIV really, really can take a toll on someone's body. It's the reason why people are dying of HIV now. You know, it's because they're not getting tested. They don't know, and they're not taking their medications. Medications are available that can keep you here healthy, living long, and a prosperous life, and your dreams can come true. You can do whatever you want to do in your life. But you have to know, and that's why it's important, again, to get tested.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate with you. I'm going
sure.
to be a couple of, you know, some of our listeners. All right, so I've been with my spouse, or I've been with my mate, and we've been together, 20, well, I didn't even say 20. How about we go maybe 10 years? And
uh-huh.
I know where I've been, and I know where he or she has been. Why am I going
okay.
to get tested? That's for those people who are doing all that freaky kind of stuff. So for someone like me, you know, for listeners
uh-huh.
like me who say, well, I've been with my partner, why would I get tested?
Because it can happen to anybody. You know, there's a lot of – I've seen people who've been in relationships as long as you say you have been and have come into our office to get tested, and I had to give one a positive result and the other one did not know their status. You know, so, again, it can happen to anybody. What I recommend for people who are in long-term relationship is to get tested together. You know, make this part of your yearly checkup, you know. You don't have to get tested as often because you're in a relationship, you're in a monogamous relationship, you're having sex with one person, the person you're with is having sex with you only. So because of those things, you're reducing your risk. So you always want to do things that's going to reduce your risk. So because of that, you know, just make get tested while, you know, you get your yearly checkup. You know, that, we recommend that everyone gets their yearly checkup once a year, right? So make it a routine. Make it something normal because, again, it can happen to anybody, whether you're in a 25-year relationship or you're in a 6-month relationship. HIV has no... It doesn't pick who it wants to, you know. It can happen to anybody.
We have some callers that are calling in, and they have questions for you, Richard, so we're going to bring them on in a couple of seconds.
Okay.
I want to remind everybody, or I just want to say welcome to those who just called in, because we're getting some good calls in here, and we're we're getting some good online questions, too.
Okay.
Welcome to Hannah Footprint. This is Miss Ricky Jones. I'm on with Richard LaFoy. He is from Lavashi, one of the oldest African-American organizations that deal with AIDS and HIV in the urban community. If you have a question, call in 347-826-9723. Press the number 1. You can also connect with me on Blog Talk, or you can shoot me a Facebook or tweet me or Instagram message if you have questions. So we actually have a caller right now. Good morning. How are you? Welcome to Hannah Footprint.
Good morning, Ricky. How are you today? And good morning to your guest.
This is one of my nurses.
I'm calling with, I can barely hear you. There's a lot of interference, but I'm going to ask my question. You talked a lot about statistics and young people. Can you give me some statistics on folks who are considered old school, the 55 and up and close to 60? Those of us who run around and think that, oh, it's not going to happen to me.
Richard, can you? The question was, what about the old schoolers? You know, the 55, the new AARP members. You know, those who are already in menopause, things of that nature, and they're the older crowd. What are the statistics for the 50 and over?
So I can run down some statistics. Americans age 50 and older have many of the same HIV risk factors. So it doesn't matter, you know, where you, how old a person is. A lot of the risk factors are the same. So they account for 19% of the estimated 1.1 million people living with HIV in the United States. So that's roughly about 217,300 people. 55 and older are living with the HIV virus. I would say also that 30% of the new infections are white men, and 4% are white women. And so a lot of the reasons why, this is a good question. There's a lot of medications out there that make older people, let's say, more sexually active, right? So because of that, it puts people at a people are all sexually active. So because of that, they're more sexually active, and again, they have the same risk factors as anybody who's either 50 or 24 or 60. The risk factors are the same. People are still out there having unprotected sex. So because of that, you know, they're at risk for HIV.
So now, you mean to tell me, my grandmother, you know, our grandmothers and our grandfathers are still getting their groove on, and some of them are being, you know, irresponsible. How do we have that conversation with them, you know, to say, hey, get tested. Yes, you can get it. Because I guess they're figuring, oh, well, you know, I can't have babies anymore, I'm safe, you know, and you're older, so there's now a whole bunch of foolishness and shenanigans going on, so I'm pretty good. How do I say to, you know, my father or my grandmother that you need to be tested, or you need to have, you know, or give them a condom or something, you know, because I know for some folks it's really awkward to even think about your
right.
parents or your grandparents still being sexually active.
Right. It can be a weird conversation to have with someone who's of that age. But again, one thing I always push is that it can happen to anyone, and the statistics are out there. You know, it can happen to anyone. So, you know, you're just coming from a place of love. You're coming from a place of, you know, concern. And you want to just make sure that you let people know this, whoever you're speaking to, whether they're 55 or 20. You know, it's not that you're perceiving anyone to be engaging in anything that you feel like they shouldn't be. But again, sex is a human thing. Everyone is going to have it at some point in their life. And so because of that, you're at risk. So So, you know, the best thing to do is to protect yourself and get tested.
Now, what are the different types of tests that you do?
So what we do is HIV screening.
Different tests.
We do HIV screenings, and you get your results right there. I'm out and about on this oval getting ready for the AIDS walk, and so you might be hearing some cars or the wind blowing or stuff like that because I'm out in public. But some of the tests that we offer at Babashi is we do a 20-minute rapid test, which is a simple blood sample from your finger, and you get your results in 20 minutes. In addition to that, we do syphilis screenings, we do chlamydia and gonorrhea screenings, and we also do pregnancy tests. All of the services that we provide at Babashi is absolutely free and no cost to our consumers. So that's just some basic testings that we do there at the office.
Now, if people don't want to come to you all for testing, should they go to a hospital or should they go to their primary doctor to get tested?
Yeah, we recommend you have these conversations with your primary care doctor. You know, that's what they're there for. This is part of your health, sexual health. And so because of it, you know, you should definitely be engaging in these kind of conversations with your doctor. You know, and your doctor would know where to recommend you. So there's also a lot of different services out there. The Philadelphia Health Department offers free HIV testing and screening, STD screenings as well. And so contact your local health department. They should be able to direct you in the direction that you need to if you can't make it to Babashi.
Now let's talk about our parents who have teenagers. There is so much out there in the media. You know, when I was growing up, that talk wasn't really a talk. It really was whatever you learned out in the street, so to speak. And, you know, and those of us who were lucky to have a parent or parents to sit down and have the conversation with, you know, it was kind of awkward. In today's society, where they can kind of Google everything, parents still need to have the conversation with their teenagers. And how do they feel? Like, what do you suggest for the parents of teenagers? How young should the conversation be in your opinion?
So how for parents to begin to have this conversation with their kids? You just want to be as open as honest and keep it real with your kids. You know, like what are you doing? You know, ask questions. You know, you want to do this at a young age so that it won't be weird when you know they're older and. You know, I'm going to have to have this conversation with my mom. Why are you asking me this? You know, you want to begin to normalize things, you know, and that's a way to, you know, begin to have this conversation with your children. Normalize it. Make it part of, you know, something that's normal. What are you doing, you know, part of your family conversation? Again, it can be uncomfortable because who wants to really talk to your older people about these kind of things, especially your loved ones. But again, it's coming from a place of love. You know, you're concerned about things that are going out there in the world. And we're out here, you know, every day. So one way to, you know, begin to have that conversation with your children is to just normalize it. Make it normal.
I like that. Make it normal. So that you won't feel as uncomfortable as you're going to feel, because no one really wants to think about their children having sex. But mommies, daddies, aunties, uncles, they are out there. They are having sex, and you may or may not be able to prevent it. But you definitely you know they're out there. You definitely need to educate them so that it doesn't become something traumatic to them. So now, Richard, let me ask you: how did you get involved with Babashi?
Well, I've been at Babashi for less than a year, but I've been doing this work for about 10 years now. I started working for a local nonprofit here in Philadelphia straight out of high school. Well, actually still in high school. Someone came over to my high school and did a workshop on teen sex and relationships. And that's where I met one of my mentors. His name is Luis Ortiz. And he's currently working at the Mazzoni Center here in Philadelphia. And he introduced me to this world. And it's always been something that I've always, like, hold close to my heart. I've known people who are HIV positive, who have passed away from HIV. So this is just not only my job. This is my passion. I'm here to fight the fight until it's over. So that's how I got started. Straight while I was still in high school, I got offered. I wanted to know more information. So what I did was I got invited to the office. You know, I got to really see what the organization was doing out there in the field. And I started to volunteer at the age of 17. I got offered a peer education position. So I was doing peer education in high schools, youth correction facilities, and places of that nature where we can find youth. And that's where I got my start. And ever since then, I've been doing this, and I'm doing it in different capacities. So yeah, it's definitely something that I'm passionate about. It's just not my job.
And that's really how it should be. Life really should be about doing what makes the best passion out of you.
Right.
So now I know
right.
you're out and about. So let's talk
yes.
about this big event that is happening tomorrow. You're out there on the Oval. I'm so excited. I just registered a couple of days ago. My son and I are going to be part of Team Babassi. Yay!
Awesome!
So tell us about, give us a little history about the 8th Walk Run Philly. And tell us, you know, what is it? How can people be involved?
So how did it start? It started because we needed to make people aware of what was going on in regards to HIV. A lot of people still did not know what HIV was unaware of it. So they started this big this walk here to raise awareness. It also became we had partner organizations. So then we started to raise money for these partner organizations who provide HIV AIDS services in Philadelphia. We raised money for those organizations. Now, each organization that raises money, they create a team. So the money goes back to these organizations at 100%. With funding, with city funding and state funding and federal funding, money isn't given to these services as much as it used to be. So this is why the AIDS Walk is very, 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 very important. So it's going to be important for people to get involved, fundraise. We can volunteer. People can volunteer. You can sign up at AIDSWalkPhilly.org. And you can sign up as a walker. You can sign up for a team. You can also sign up as a volunteer. I'm actually the volunteer and events coordinator assistant at the AIDS Walk this year. So I'll be in charge of, along with the coordinator, of coordinating and recruiting and training 400 volunteers that is needed to make this walk happen. So it's been around since 1987. And we need you guys' help. We need all the help we can get.
And you heard that, guys. Need all the help you get. What I like about the AIDS Walk and got interested in is the fact that, like you said, the money that is raised actually goes back into the organization within the tri-state area. And I think that's very unique. Because a lot of times when we, you know, not take away from different walks and different types of organizations, but a lot of times we have walks and they go, you know, the money is raised nationally and the little places here and there are not necessarily, you know, they don't necessarily get all the food thrown in. So I like that. I hear you are working. You're a working man back there. I'm
yeah.
so excited.
I'm doing a whole lot right now, y'all.
So now... How long is the walk? Because I hear now from my past experience, it has been longer. The walk has been longer. I understand they've cut the walk down.
Yes, the walk now is it went down from 12K to 5K, and a lot of the reason why the walk has been cut because we were listening to a lot of the feedback that we were getting from the public. It's about a half of what it used to be. But again, you know, that's the only difference. You know, the walk is still needed. We still need to raise money for these local organizations here in Philadelphia. And it's going to be a great event. So come out and support because we need everybody's help.
I just got a question in our chat room. And the question was, Richard, how it's a two-parter. How can people volunteer for tomorrow? And how can people volunteer in general?
Okay, so since we're down to crunch time, the walk is less than 24 hours away. So because of that, what we're recommending is that anyone who wants to volunteer, you want to just show up to the walk. Show up to the circle, Eakins Oval in front of the Art Museum steps. You're going to see a big volunteer check-in tent. At this volunteer check-in tent, you can let them know that you're here, you're interested in volunteering. And what they're going to do is they're going to assign you to a job. They're going to get your information down. They're going to get your email address. And what they're going to do is they're going to assign you a specific job or duty for the rest of the evening or for the rest of the morning until the walk is done. What's going to happen is we take down all your contact information and you'll be contacted in the future for other AIDS Walk Philly events. In addition to that, you can always just email volunteer@aidsfundphilly.org. And if you have any general questions in regards to the AIDS Walk, you can also email info@aidsfundphilly.org. So you can also call the office at 215-731-9255, and you can let them know that you're interested in volunteering in the future. Again, but for the day of the walk, we're less than 24 hours away, so we're down to crunch time. So if you're interested in volunteering for tomorrow, just show up to the walk. We would use you. We can use all the help that we can get. And we will assign you a job and a duty. So just come through to the find us at the volunteer tent by the circle.
All right. So those of you who are in the Philadelphia area, show up and then go from there. And if you can't make it tomorrow, now what time does the walk start tomorrow?
The walk is actually going to start at 9:00. The run starts at 7:30. I'm out here at 5:00 in the morning. I'm actually out here now setting up, but I'll be back here at 5:00 in the morning. And but the walk actually starts at 9. It'll be over by 11. So we need people here to help set up early in the morning. We're actually going to start setting up around 5:30, 6:00 in the morning if you're a morning person. But then again, we can always assign you to a job if you just show up because we need all the hands we can get to help make this special and great event happen.
And for those of you who are interested in tomorrow's going to be your first day going, from my experience, like I said, I've done it with my job, and my son and I have loved it. We're going to do it. It is such a beautiful, we've always had a wonderful day. Tomorrow is not going to be any different. The forecast a little chilly, but it's going to be a beautiful day for a walk. And just to see so many people. The thing I love the most, are they still going to have the patchwork quilt, the rug, you know, the patchwork quilt out on the front of the Art Museum?
Yes, actually, that's one of our biggest attractions here at the walk. We're going to have the AIDS quilt out here, so we have it every year. The AIDS quilt is put together by family members or organizations of some people who have passed away from HIV/AIDS in the past. So it's a beautiful display of our quilts. You'll be able to catch all that and see all that if you come down here to the walk tomorrow morning.
All right, guys. So if you want to volunteer tomorrow, just show up down by the Art Museum. And if you're not sure where the Art Museum is, if you live in Philadelphia or you might be out, you know, you might be visiting tomorrow out of town, Google it, map it, everything for you. You can also go to visitphilly.com. I believe it's .org or .com. Not sure, but I will definitely put it up on the website. If you want to volunteer tomorrow, you definitely can volunteer tomorrow. The walk starts, if you're walking, it starts at 9. If you're running, it starts at 7. Have been just, listen, guys, Richard, I'm so thankful because I'm going to actually let you go.
Thank you so much, y'all. Thanks for having me.
Come on with us. Now, can you tell us one more time how people can get a hold of Vibashi, the website and the phone number?
Well, you can just go on our website, www.vibashi.org. All of our contact information is on there. So it's a beautiful website. It actually just got up and running, the new website. So you'll find all of our information on there in addition to testing information and volunteer opportunities and things of that nature. You can all find that on our website, www.vibashi.org.
And if there's one thing you want people to know about today, tomorrow, and dealing with AIDS and HIV, what would that be?
Get tested. Get tested because knowing is always going to be better than not knowing at all. If you know, you can do something about it. When you don't know, you can't do anything about it. So sex is normal. It's a human thing. We're all going to have it. We all have to take responsibility for our bodies, for ourselves. We only get one body. You only get one. You're here, one person. You only get one body. So we all have to take care of it and make sure that we're on top of our health. This is just part of your sexual health. So, you know, just get tested again because it can happen to anybody.
Thank you so much, Richard. I appreciate it. I'm actually going to go ahead and let you go so that you can be here.
Thank you.
I will see you in the morning.
Awesome.
Get some rest as much
Thank
as you,
you
can anyway.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For having me.
Thank you for coming on. All right, guys. So have the conversation. We, like I said, we all have, those of us who do, we all have sex. It's a human part of our lives. Be careful. Have the conversation. Parents, please, please, please. I know, because I know I don't necessarily want to have the conversation with my, no, I'm not even going to lie. I'm excited. I'm not even going to lie. I am excited that I'm going to have the, you know, my son's father and I are going to have that conversation with him. Because even though I may or may not be able to keep him from having sex, if he does, I want him to be careful. I want him to be educated. I want him to know what he's getting himself into, okay? So parents, I know you don't want to have the conversation. You don't even want to think about your children doing it. But you need to have the conversation with them. And you need to give them full disclosure. And like Richard said, make it normal. You know, you're sitting, they come home. How's your day? How was your day? What did you learn in school? Make it a normal conversation. However you guys have conversation, have that conversation. The same thing, those of us who are a little bit older and we have our parents and we have our friends and we have just everything. You know, we have our friends and we have our loved ones. Listen, and they're older. Guess what? It's human nature. They're still having relationships too. All right? So there's nothing wrong with it. Those of us who are in relationships, who are not single, you talk about everything else, the bills, the car, the house, the whatever's going on, everything. You know, sometimes your date night can include going and getting tested together. Even though you all may be in a monogamous relationship, it's still nice to know your status, to know where you are, okay? Knowing, like the old saying goes, knowing is half the battle. Get out there and get tested. There are all kind of ways that you can become tested. And I forgot to ask Richard before he left, but I definitely will ask and put it out there for the chatter who asked me about the HIV testing over the counter. So I will definitely ask him tomorrow morning when I see him, and I will post it on my fan page. And if you haven't seen my fan page, it is on Facebook. It is Hannah Footprints, What Is Your Legacy, hosted by the Miss Ricky R. Jones. So make sure you go to that fan page and you like it. Make sure you check out the fan page too, those of you who are liking it, because I'm going to make sure that during the week, after the walk is over, I'm going to plug in all the information and the resources that Richard gave us today. So those of you who want to volunteer, those of you who want to know about testing, those of you who chatted to me about what kind of conversations you can have with your children and your loved ones and your significant others, I'm going to be putting different bits of information on every day of the week until our next show, okay? So make sure you check out the fan page. If you guys need to get a hold of me, you know I am always on Facebook. I am always on Twitter. I'm always on Instagram. Those of you, thank you for liking those messages. I'm glad you're enjoying them. I appreciate it. You can email me at themsrrikkijones@gmail.com. Okay? So make sure you like the fan page on Facebook. Make sure you like it. Make sure you're following so that you can get the tidbits that I'm going to put on there during this week from the show that Richard gave us, all the links and the resources, okay? If you've missed the show or if you have friends who are interested in the show, don't forget to tell them, hey, it's archived. We are always archived 24/7. Anytime that you want to listen to this show, which was absolutely awesome, or any of the other shows that we've had, you know, in our previous history, you're more than welcome to check out the archives, okay? You can check out the archives by either going to the fan page, or you can check out the archives in Twitter and anything else that when I post it, or you can come to blogtalkradio.com, plug in Hand and Footprints, or you can plug in my name, Ricky Jones, and you should see a list of all the different archive shows that I've done. Guys, get tested. Know your status. Have the conversation. Be aware. Be supportive. If you're in the Philadelphia area and you get a chance to get out there and walk run tomorrow, please, by all means, do that. If you can't, by all means, find out what you can do to volunteer, okay? But know your status. Knowing is half the battle. Richard said it. Know your status. Have the conversation. In anything and everything you do, if it's not like breathing, don't do it. I am Miss Ricky Jones. This is Hand and Footprints. What is your legacy? Have a wonderful Saturday afternoon. God willing, we'll do this again next Saturday.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a traveling lounge singer.
And we're going up the airport escalator. Hey, where are you from?
Ha ha, no response. Classic.
Got in an accident, so you gotta take a cab, huh? No cabs at Progressive Service Centers. They got rental cars on site, which is out of sight, you know?
Progressive takes the hassle out of claims. Just drop your car off at one of our service centers and we'll manage the rest.
Here's a little number I like to call. Waiting for the shuttle bus.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Service centers not available in all areas. You have a choice of repair facilities.